Gonna crash! Help Ryan at wheel!
The redhead glanced at Ryan holding on to the giant wheel and hurried forward.
What can we do?
Dunno. Only room for two at wheel.
Above them was a labyrinthine maze of ropes and pulleys going in every possible direction.
Pull the wrong one and we hit the breakers.
No, Dad!
Mildred went to the gunwale and held the railing while she tried to see where they were headed with the spray blurring her vision.
Son of a bitch! The coral will rip the guts out of this ship!
It'll sink like a rock.
Drop the sail!
Dean went to the port gunwale. He released the ropes around a belaying pin. The twisted hemp shot away free, disappearing into the complex rigging. Jack drew a knife.
Come on!
Don't!
Dean pulled another pin. It took both hands, but the boy managed. A small sail at the distant front of the ship sagged, but didn't drop.
We'll need them to get off the island! Just set them loose and drop the big sail!
Jack joined Dean, JB, and Mildred going to the other side of the huge vessel. As fast as possible, they pulled out the belaying pins and untied knots. At first, nothing happened. The ship stayed true on its course for the breakers. Another sail loosened in its stays, then sagged, and finally fell to the deck in a loud rush of salt-stiff canvas. Mildred dove for the deck as the jib boom disengaged and swept across the deck. She heard it swoosh overhead and then slam into the quarter deck, knocking away the companionway, the smashed wood shotgunning overboard. The waves fought every turn, and Ryan found he could only alter their direction in tiny increments. Ryan and Christy didn't seem to notice their near extermination, all of their concentration on the stubborn wheel and the approaching coral. Knuckles white from the strain, the man and woman fought side by side to overcome the wind and the tide. Then, in a deafening rustle, the mainsail collapsed, nearly smashing Jack under its awesome weight.
Thank Gaia!
Ryan stayed at his position, fighting to steer the lumbering giant back toward the lagoon and calm waters. Slowly, ever so slowly, the Constellation moved past the coral outcropping. However, once they cleared the array of breakers, the pull of the evening tide eased, the white cap stopped cresting, and the ship now slowly obeyed them like a well-trained plow horse.
Got no anchor!
Sandbar! Hold on!
Everybody grabbed something solid, and the ship shuddered as its bow plowed into the underwater ridge of sand. There was a moment or two of rocking back and forth, the stays and jib creaking loudly. Then the ship went still in its earthen berth. Releasing the wheel, Ryan flexed his hands, trying to get some feeling back into his fingers. He'd once killed a cougar by grabbing its front legs and pulling them apart to break its chest wide open, and that had been easier than this.
Anybody hurt?
Alive and undamaged.
Ow, speak for yourself.
Dean inspected his chafed hands. The skin was gone from his palms in spots, the flesh raw and oozing.
Phew. Not chill you.
Yeah, I know, but it stings.
JB glanced at the towering pile of canvas forming a gray mountain on the deck. Had to be a ton, maybe two, of the material. Any body caught underneath it would have been squashed flat.
Could have been worse.
Tying off the wheel so the rudder wouldn't get damaged from the random slapping waves, Ryan went to the railing. Christy stood there like a queen of the sea, her wild red hair blowing in the breeze.
Company coming.
Uh-huh.
Ryan studied the beach. There was no sign of any live slavers. The sailors were scavenging among the dead, taking boots and blasters, occasionally kicking a corpse. However, at the creek, Doc and some of the better-dressed sailors were climbing into an outrigger and setting into the surf. All of them were heavily armed.
Doc doesn't look like a hostage.
He's not, and that buys us some leverage. Jack, let them on board. Everybody else, stay close. We need to show a united front. We're a crew just like them.
Gotcha.
Christy jumped down the main deck, only bending her knees slightly to absorb the impact.
Leverage for what? What are we bargaining for?
Ryan said nothing, but checked the clip in his blaster to make sure it was fully loaded. In a few minutes, the outrigger full of sailors reached the side of the Constellation where there was a gap in the gunwale.
Ahoy! We're coming aboard!
That you, Adam?
Huh? Oh,
Right, right.
If one of the companions was with strangers, calling him Adam was asking if it was a trap. Answer the name, and the companions would cut loose with every weapon they had, hopefully catching the enemy off guard. Any name with a B meant leave immediately, and so on.
Clear as crystal, Charlie.
Good.
Ryan nodded at the all-clear code. Maybe they could cut a deal with these sailors yet. He really didn't want to chill them and take the ship, but that was his only other option. Going to the hole, Jack kicked over a coiled rope ladder that appeared to be for just such a purpose. The first of the sailors climbed on board with ease and surveyed the destruction with a dour expression.
Any of them alive?
The sailor leading the boat was a short man with a barrel chest and arms like a gorilla. The handles of knives jutted from each roll-top boot, and two pistols rested in his wide leather belt. His shirt had a bloody bullet hole in the chest, obviously taken off a fallen comrade.
Alive? Not anymore. How about ashore?
As you say, Blackie, not anymore.
Ryan.
Bosun Jones. Bosun Jackson Carter Jones, commander of the Constellation.
A bosun in charge of this Goliath?
More of the sailors climbed aboard.
Guess I'd bloody well have to be. All the officers are dead. I'm the only rank left.
Just then, Doc rose into view, his ebony sword stick stuck into his belt.
By the three Kennedys, that was brilliant. Dropping the sails and ramming the bar. Ingenious!
Why didn't you just drop anchor?
They shot it loose. Or didn't you see that?
Yeah, I saw. So what about the sea anchor?
Jammed.
Is it now?
You have my permission to go see for yourself.
Permission? This is my ship, lubber, and I give the orders around here. Me and only me.
As the rest of the crew came on board, they formed a surly mob behind Bosun, now Captain Jones. Their brands still leaking blood, they looked exhausted, but grimly ready to back any play of the small commander.
Was your ship. It's ours now.
The companions drew their weapons just as the sailors drew theirs. For a few moments, nobody breathed for fear of starting the point-blank shooting. Ryan prepared to move fast. At this range, the 75-caliber mini-balls would literally blow him in two. Heart or head shots were too chancy. He'd have to hit the blasters themselves as the bosun drew.
Just give the word, Cap.
Belay that.
The men slowly eased their stance, but calloused hands were never far from their assortment of weapons.
You set us free on the beach, so we owe you our lives. Then you saved the Connie from the slavers, so we owe you half the cargo. Put them together, and much as I hate to say it, you want to stake a claim on the Connie? I have to agree. On my oath I do.
Bosun, you're giving away the Connie?
That's captain to you, O'Malley. And if I say die, you say how often, sir. Natch?
Yeah, I understand, captain.
Say she's your ship. What's the deal? We work as crew or get marooned?
No. We came here by accident, and only want to leave.
Soon as possible.
Ship broken, eh? What do you need? Wood? Canvas? Rope? Got plenty of that. Take what you want.
We need shine. A couple of gallons of wine would do. Even beer. Or some copper pipe to make our own. Get us that, and the Connie is yours.
The sailors murmured among themselves while Jones chewed over the amazing request, his face going through a variety of expressions.
Any alcohol or juice in the lanterns?
Juice in a lamp, boy. Don't be daft. It's fish oil. Smells bad down below, but gives good light. Got lots if that's any help.
No way.
Shine to fix a ship. Black dust. We got nothing like that on board. Drunk sailors fall overboard. Now, the Ville had plenty. That's what they gave us to celebrate finishing the work. We drank every drop and woke up in chains. More fools we for trusting villagers. If you don't walk wood, then you ain't worth spit, as Captain Fallon used to say, God rest him. Now, Lord Baron Kinnison has got lots of pre-dark machines, some of them even work. He'd have that copper you need, but I can't take no man there. Oh, I thought about it. There's a powerful reward for outlanders. But once he knows you got rapid fires, he'll skin you alive to find out where they come from. And I can't risk the lives of any man who saved my crew. That's the first thing I'm paying you back. Your lives.
Maybe we could reason with him. Cut a deal?
With the Lord Bastard? Better chance of arguing coal to fire.
No, can't take you there. Got plenty of shine at our home port called Harborville. Shine so strong it'll knock the stink off a mutie. Probably make your other eye fall out, Ryan.
Instantly, Ryan felt the red anger well from within, the unbridled urge to chill everybody. But then he saw the sailor holding back a grin and forced himself to be calm. The runt had been testing him. In spite of himself, Ryan was starting to like the man. He was hard and direct, somebody they could trust, for a while at least.
If that's what melted you down to this size, Pee-wee, then it'll do.
The short captain grabbed the curved butt of a flintlock, paused, slowly took his hand away, and reluctantly cracked a grin.
Okay, Ryan. You want shine, then by God, I'll drown you in it. We'll take you to our home port, pack the hold with the oldest shine, best in town, steal it from the Gaudy House if needs be, and take you back here. Then you're on your own, and we're quits. Fairest even to the nine. Agreed?
Deal.
Ryan held out his hand. However, Captain Jones raised a hand to stop him.
Oh, not so fast. There's something I need from you folks in return. Give me an oath you'll fight alongside us in case of trouble. These villagers caught us asleep, but there's pirate ships out there that raid these islands. Sleek windjammers armed with our own cannons. We're big, but they're fast. Those fancy rapid fires might make them think twice. Maybe go try some other ship. That's the deal. Shine in two trips, for your blasters at our backs, both ways and in port. Deal?
The new captain spat in his own palm, then held it out. Ryan spat in his own hand, and the two men clasped each other's appendages.
Fair Stephen.
The deal was sealed. Just then, a lone seagull flew by, cawing for its mate. The companions flinched at the sight of the bird, reaching for their blasters, and Jones surreptitiously noted the fact. Obviously, they'd tangled with the condors of Spider Island. That had to be where their ship was moored.
What should we do first, sir? Check the hull for leaks? She hits that sandbar awful hard.
I can do that. It's you sons of bitches I'm worried about. Where's Danvers?
The healer tried to run. The locals gut-shot him.
Blasted coward. Served him right. Okay, O'Malley, you're the new healer.
Me?
You. Get busy binding wounds.
Aye, aye, skipper.
I'm a healer. Best you'll ever find.
Well, then get to work, woman. My crew is bleeding while we jaw.
I'll need a private room to sterilize. Some of those wounds are deep and we'll need stitches, maybe even minor surgery. I want the captain's cabin as sick bay.
Jones glanced at the quarter deck and noted the stairs were gone. It had to have been a hell of a fight. These outlanders were good.
Do whatever you want. Take whatever you need.
Mildred, I'll start boiling water and ripping any clean cloth I can find.
Boiling water? We're not making soup.
Shut up. You two, carry that man.
Mildred started off across the long deck and around the huge mound of the downed mainsail. She had no intention of trying to explain the existence of germs to these sailors. They never would believe her. Few did these days.
The rest of you, follow me.
Grumbling among themselves, the survivors did as they were ordered and limped along behind, leaving a crimson trail of footsteps in their wake.
Meet you in 10.
Christie went for the open hatch that led below decks.
Hurry!
Mildred was already rummaging through her meager supplies. No sulfur, no alcohol, no ether. It was going to be bare-handed surgery once more. May God help the men, but she'd save as many as possible. Knowing he'd never see some of those men alive again, Captain Jones watched the wounded men hobble off, then turned and addressed the rest of the crew.
Okay, the rest of you swabs, get back to work. Bust open the ship's doors and take all the lead and powder you want. Reload those blasters, boys. We'll never get caught unarmed again, by God. After that, O'Malley, I want Curtis in the nest and keep a sharp eye for incoming ships.
Yes, sir.
Daniels, man the wheel. Vautier, take one of the outlanders and search the lower decks for any stowaways. Don't want any surprises once we're at sea.
You want to talk to anybody we find, skipper?
Feed them to the fishes.
We already checked below. Ship's clear.
Did you? Good. Then check the mainsail, Pautier. We're not going anywhere without that.
Aye, sir.
The sailor began to examine the chest-high folds of canvas.
I'll help.
Good lad. Blind Christ, I'm reduced to using brats. Hope that healer is good, Ryan, because we're powerfully short on crew, and we'll need every man alive to get off this stinking rock.
Pray tell, sir, what about the girls?
Doc glanced at the shore. The teenaged girls were moving among the dead, using knives on the dead men to settle accounts. The ragged bits of flesh they hacked off were tossed into the crackling fire and raised a wretched cloud of dank smoke.
Eh? Well, they were to be a gift to the Baron. He's looking for a new wife. Ain't no good now. Kinnison likes them young and fresh. But you want one, go ahead. She's yours.
Indeed, I do not. Do I seem a pedophile? You misconstrued my meaning entirely.
Did I know? Make crew. Women?
You need hands. They each have two.
Aye, and a lot more. Hey, Silverhair. Doc, is it? You were the one that stayed on shore. Go take the outrigger and offer them a deal. Any woman who signs the ship articles will be crew. And treated as such. My word.
Done, sir.
The old man headed for the breach in the gunwale where the canoe was moored.
Good news, skipper. Nothing much wrong here. Just some bullet holes and... shit fire!
In a soft rumble, the canvas slipped from Baltier's grip and slid into the gaping hole in the deck, the ropes trailing behind, lashing about madly. It piled in the hold, almost reaching the deck. Jones walked around the yawning pit, his stubby legs moving briskly.
Rodney, that's 30 feet wide. What the hell did you bastards fire on my darling ship? A nuke?
Close enough, but it chilled most of the slavers.
I'll say. Grin?
Plas.
Know anything about cannons?
Some. Want me to help work with the blaster crew?
You are the blaster crew. The rest got aced.
All of them?
Every man.
Fire blast. This is why you wanted us on board so much. You got no trained gunners. This ship would have been defenseless at sea.
Said I wanted those rapid-fire blasters on my side, and that was no lie. Besides, I knew you only needed to cut a deal because none of you could sail a ship.
That obvious, eh?
Shit, yes. So remember that without us, Ryan, you're marooned.
And you'd be chilled, Jones.
Maybe. But I want to ride the ass of the evening tide out of here, so you better get busy at your work. There's lots to do, and little time.
Skipping over the ocean waves, the PT boat angled around the conning tower of a sunken aircraft carrier and headed for the narrow passage into the calm bay. The water was choppy around the island, the natural banks of the landmass reaching out to sea and almost completing a circle. The entry into the harbor was tight, barely 20 feet across, and made even smaller by the piles of concrete and brick from pre-dark ruins, along with the occasional smashed wreck of a submerged vessel. Some were rotting wood, others rusting hulks of exploded metal, and a small handful were space-age polymers, still as clean and bright as the day they'd come from the injection molding. Stout bunkers stood on either side of the harbor's passage, their sloping concrete walls proof of primitive cannonballs and musket rounds. Grim sec men stood guard within, oily M16 rifles slung over their shoulders. A rectangular metal box rose in their midst, its honeycombed interior jammed with sleek fat tubes, their pointed tips barely protruding into view.